thank you for taking the time to download and listen to this podcast from Celtic Underground. You are possibly picking this up on thecelticunderground.substack.com. If you are a paid subscriber, you can link your account to wherever you pick up your podcasts, whether that be Spotify, Apple, Amazon, wherever, and you can pick up the subscription feed where you get your normal feed. Just go on to Substack on the website and follow the instructions. Meantime, this is Andrew H. Smith in conversation.
Hi all, and welcome to Celtic Underground in conversation. And this week it's a true honour to have people I think represent the best of Celtic, because today I've got with me, I've got Nick Weir and Claire Murray of the Kano Foundation. Nick, lovely to see you guys. Nick, great to have you along. And you're the CEO, so I'll do that as we go along. You're the CEO, Nick, eh?
Not quite CEO, Andrew. I'm a trustee and the chairman of the Kano Foundation.
Chairman.
Very proud of
chairman.
But yeah.
Well, my apologies. We'll get away with that one. You're like CEOs, chairmans. Well, we'll not go there with Celtic. Like, and Claire, I believe you're a trustee.
I am. Yes, I'm a trustee. Just a bog standard one. No CEO in there.
Yeah, or no even chairperson. We really should say, shouldn't we? And Claire, I've got to say before we go, it's a real delight, if you don't mind saying so, to have you on here, because to my eternal shame, my mother brought me up going to the Celtic games. I go with my sister and I go with my female cousin. So it's never been a patriarchal thing for me, Celtic, but my God, my 2 years doing this in conversation, it's incredibly patriarchal, because I think you're only the fourth woman we've had on. Susie McCabe, we had, and my colleague from the Celtic View of the old days, Meryl Brown, with Tommy Burns' daughter, Jenna Burns. So you're number four, but that's to my eternal shame. But so if any women out here watching want to come on, especially some of the series we do, please come on. But it's a special delight to have you on, Claire.
Thanks very much. It sounds like I'm in very good company, and I'm also improving your DEI stats as well.
Which are out there trumping at the moment, like I have to say. And for I think most Celtic supporters know of the Kano Foundation. And for me, if you don't mind me saying, to me, it kind of, can I represent something that's very kind of quintessentially Celtic, because it's kind of born out of charity. It's serving a certain community that's maybe often either shunned or not served. So it's like you've almost got the roots of Celtic in terms of what you do. But even if most of us know maybe why, how it's come about, but if one of you wants to take this up a bit, everybody will see you in the ground, and they see that wee section, especially because the high vis, you have the high vis, don't you, for the Wains? Do you tend to have kind of high vis kind of thing sometimes?
Big bright hearts.
Big bright hearts, right. So it's like there's very much, like you can tell the little section behind the goal at the Lisbon Lions. But what's the origins of the Kano Foundation? Who wants to take this up? I'm quite happy for either one of you to take it up.
I can take that if you want. The story of the Kano Foundation is fascinating. It essentially dates back to 2008, where Martin Kane, a Glaswegian, was living in Australia, and unfortunately he develops Devic syndrome. It's a rare autoimmune condition. He's then hospitalised for months and requires specialised care. He's also known as Kano, Martin Kano.
Yeah, I remember it. Celtic, also I was a lurker in Celtic Quick News then, so I would obviously see his posts at that time, you know.
Exactly. So he's also, you know, as you mentioned, very active on Celtic Quick News Forum. And then there's a huge community response. The forum members unite to try and support Martin, and the target is, I think, £60,000. And the purpose of raising that money is to adapt his home and to return Martin for Christmas with his family. The outcome is quite staggering. The community far surpasses and exceeds that target, and an incredible show of generosity. The entire turning point is, you know, not only did they adapt the home, the surplus funds were then given back to take children who helped fundraise for Martin to bring them to Celtic matches. So you fast forward to today, it started in 2010, 2011 as a registered children's charity. We've now surpassed the 21,000 children mark at the Keno Foundation, and that's something we're very proud of.
And Claire, when did you become aware of it? Like, obviously, I know the names of the guys that were in it at the very start, you know, like, which I don't know if you guys have ever kind of, John Paul Gilmartin, Joe Mackin, Mark Kingsman seem to be along with co-founders Mark Martin, Tony Riley, Gordon Johnston and Gillian McCall. That those were the kind of the founders, as it seemed to be, or the kind of, like, I was going to say like the founding fathers, but that would have just been more of my Trumpian tendencies coming out. The founding persons.
Yeah, I think.
Sorry, carry on,
I was just going to say, I think Gillian would have something to say about that.
Of course, so she should.
A formidable character, yes.
So when do you come on board then? Or how do you get involved?
Yeah, so as I mentioned to you before, I used to sit basically above the Keno Foundation. My season ticket was up there, and I used to spend half of the games just watching this bunch of kids below me just going crazy.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, you come home, you look them up and you're like, what is this? And then found out about the Keno Foundation and just kind of followed them on social media. And then 2021, Keno were looking for trustees. They were looking for people with a kind of marketing background to do social media and websites and things. And that's my profession. So I applied, and I've been around since 2021, had a baby, left for a little while, came back again. So, yeah.
Congratulations to the baby.
Thank you.
What age is the Wayne now?
He'll be 2 in July, and he is quite the whirlwind.
Godspeed. Yeah, I remember those days. Some terrible 2s, I used to say. Well, how come it's terrible 3s now, and terrible 4s, and terrible 5s, and terrible 6s?
Exactly.
It just kept going, but sorry, that's like so. And Nick, what about yourself? What's your entry point?
It's slightly different from Claire's. I lived in Dublin for 10 years before moving to Switzerland, and I work in finance during the day, but I held a concurrent role as the commercial manager at Shamrock Rovers. And a number of years ago, we were really lucky to get Celtic to come over and play Shamrock Rovers in a friendly. And I'd seen the Keno Foundation on the TV. I'd been living in Ireland for years, but when they came over, Celtic were coming over, got in contact with the Keno Foundation and organised a few tickets for them. Got to meet some of the guys that were part of it and became a fan instantly of the DNA of the charity and stayed in contact with them. And just followed them on social media, watched them on TV, and then I moved to Switzerland and I set up a Celtic supporters club in Geneva, and we started to think about how can we become a proper CSC and donate to a chosen charity. And when we were discussing that, we decided it was going to be the Keno Foundation, reached out to them, and we started doing fundraising for them. We designed a football shirt that had the Keno Foundation logo, and just started to increase our communication between some of the trustees. I also know one of the original trustees from my college days, and
right.
I was asked to join a meeting at the end of last year, and got involved through that.
So you're relatively new to it, in terms of the kind of role. In terms of the role or the kind of the level of involvement that you do have now?
Yeah, I joined as a consultant, you could say. And then I was asked to join the board in August of last year. And then in December, I took up the reins as chairman. So I'm new into the role, but thoroughly enjoying it.
Yeah. And is it all just volunteers, Claire? Is it, you're all just volunteers?
Everyone is volunteers, yeah. There's no paid employees or anything like that. Everyone just does it for the love of football and the love of bringing the kids to the games, because it's one of the best experiences of your life is coming along to the football with the Keno. So, yeah, that's why everyone does it.
And how many seats do you have? I mean, and do you just pay out of the funds that you raise, and it's all fundraising, isn't it? Like you just pay for so many season books. Is that what it is then? Is that how it works? Do you get any special discount for Celtic or anything? Am I right to say that?
No, and we wouldn't really want to because we're not affiliated with Celtic. You know, Celtic are very kind of good to us, but we very much want to stay an independent charity. So we just pay our ticket the same as what everybody else does, which means that, you know, we have the same rights as every other fan that goes along to the game. So yeah, we've got 150-ish kids seats and then 30 adult seats, obviously for the chaperones that come along with the kids.
Course.
180 odd of us at the games every week, second week.
Right. You're just about the same size as the Green Brigade, but there you go.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to say that. Yeah, so you've got your board meetings every week. That's quite onerous for volunteers. I'm a Scottish Fair Trade trustee and we only have 4 a year and I'm still struggling. Like I've just become, you know, it's the trustee world is what I'm struggling with, Claire. You might need to give me some advice later on.
To be
Everybody
fair,
knows policy and all the rest of it, you know, and I'm getting, I don't know that the laws and the rules regarding everything, but and it isn't that I had to look through a DEI document. I know you were joking about it earlier, but all that kind of things I'd never thought about when I agreed to become a trustee.
there's a lot of kind of legal and regulatory
Yeah.
stuff attached to it that you don't really realize. We used to have meetings once a month, but they would take up 4 or 5 hours. You know, you'd be sitting there for forever. So we have an hour and a half once a week or once a fortnight just now, which just keeps everything nicely ticking over, I guess.
Yeah, I mean that's dedication, Nick, for your volunteers. What kind of band do you have? I mean, how many different kind of chaperones or whatever do you have that you can pull from? I take it different people go to different games or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have six on the board right now, and we're expanding, and we can maybe touch on that later in the show. With regards to the volunteers, we are roughly around about 15 right now and growing, and that's something that takes a lot of coordination. It takes a lot of dedication and time from everyone who's involved. And as Claire mentioned, this is completely voluntary, and that's why there's so many calls and meetings, and long may that continue. I think as the charity is expanding, we have a very prominent ambassador now as a patron of the Keno Foundation, and that's only going to increase our visibility, which most likely will mean we'll need more people to get involved, which is great for the charity. So, yeah, long may it continue. A lot of hard work, but a labour of love.
Yeah, and how, I mean, in terms of your finances, because you're always dependent on the generosity of others if you're completely funded by donations, effectively. So is that do you have like Celtic supporters who have standing orders and do you have kind of well-heeled benefactors? Is it all that kind of mix? Is it all there, Claire?
Yeah, I mean, we would always appreciate more donors, obviously. Every charity would, I'm sure. But like as you say, you know, the Keno represents quite a lot about Celtic, and that is, you know, the giving side. You know, the fan base are incredibly generous, and you know, we have people who give us £1 a week or £1 a month, and we have people who give us £50 a month, and we have people who come up to us with envelopes. You know, their CSC has had a dinner and they've had a raffle and they've given the money to the Keno Foundation. So the Keno itself is just really representative of the Celtic fan base and that kind of big generosity given back, like in the ethos of Celtic itself. So we're really lucky that we've got that, you know, incredible supporter base there as well. And as Nick pointed out, things like CSCs, you know, they sponsor us. We're the you know, Wimbledon CSC down in London, for example. They charge their
Right.
members £3 a game, and all that money comes to the Keno Foundation. It's a
Wow.
mix, a big mix of different things, is how we're funded, basically.
Yeah, and how do you decide? I saw in the website, Nick, like I saw that it was saying you could request because one of your kind of the credo is that no child should be kind of deprived from going to see live sport because of a financial consideration. I've clumsily like rehashed that because it's snappier on your website. But you know, like how is it decided who those 150 Wayne's are.
Through the website, there is an allocated, let's just say, parameter where we open up applications to everyone, and it's then gauged through a first come, first served basis. We judge it on a few different parameters. I think this is probably the time where Claire's experience would most likely stand better stead than mine. So I'll hand you to Claire on how it's vetted and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, our ethos is basically, you know, a charity open to all. So anyone can apply. We've got football teams, we've got schools, we've got, you know, Sunday school groups, we've got just families, people from Scotland, England, Ireland. We've had kids come over from North America, kids come over from Europe. So there's no restrictions on who can apply. Everyone just applies when the applications open, and then it's as Nick says, it's a first come, first serve basis. So as you can imagine, with the cost of living, we always have a waiting list. You know, we always have more people than seats, and I imagine that's going to continue.
Yeah, and once you've been once, is that you? Is it a one time only offer?
No, we do try. If you have been in the past, we will try and allocate people who have never been before people that have been quite a lot. But if you think about like a football team, every year there's going to be new people coming into that. So usually it is kids that are coming along every time.
Yeah, and it's for the people that come along, it's totally bucksy. In the sense, yeah, there's no cost imposed on people that attend and sit in those seats at all.
Not a thing. The only thing that people have to pay for is getting themselves to Celtic Park. So they get their ticket included in that. The kids get a hot meal, whether that is, we sometimes meet in a church hall beforehand, depending on the game times. You know, they'll get a hot meal at the church hall, or they get a voucher for the kiosk at Celtic. They can buy themselves a pie and a juice, you know, like the classic match day experience. I don't think many of the kids are buying Bovril these days, maybe a wee Calippo. And then they get a bag, and in that bag is a juice and a sweetie and a bag of crisps and, you know, the Kano Foundation scarf that you'll probably have seen. And then the big...
I've got one in the hall there, aye. I've got one
there
in the
you
hall.
Go, yep.
Very
and
good.
The big yellow hat that we were talking about earlier on, which is how they stand out on the TV.
Yeah, because I was thinking about the high-vis, because I just think of it, you see children's nurseries and all that kind of thing, but the hats, yeah. Like, whose idea was the hats? Do you know anything, the provenance of the hats?
I think just when it all started out, the kids were freezing, so we thought we better get them hats. So they only get them in the winter months, though, because obviously they're not going to sit with a big woolly hat on. And
That's just me. North America, that's... Because obviously, God, you wouldn't be paying for people to come over from North America. That would bust the budget.
Definitely. I mean, the large majority of the kids are from the UK and Ireland and a little further afield. And as we mentioned earlier on, you know, as we're expanding, then, you know, we're open to all. But, you know, flying people over first class to attend a game in Celtic Park isn't really in the strategy of the Kano Foundation.
No.
Certainly if they find themselves in Glasgow and have applied well in advance and we've vetted them, then they're most welcome to come along.
Yeah, because I always thought there would be a kind of so-so economic consideration, but you don't want to, you can't create that either, because you're almost saying, oh yeah, you're here because, without too fine a point in it, now I work in this kind of sector, I work in the charity sector, because you're poor, oh, we're giving you our largesse. You know, you can't have it that way, but at the same time, you want people that maybe wouldn't be able to afford it. It's quite a difficult balancing act, I can imagine. Well,
absolutely. But as you say, how would you ever decide what the cut-off point that people are allowed to come are? Quite a lot of our groups that do apply, you know, they are kids from disadvantaged backgrounds. So it's, you know, schools in quite kind of poor socioeconomic areas. It's football teams where these kids' parents, you know, the football team's coaches have maybe organised that because these kids' parents could never have actually afforded to bring them. And if you talk to the kids when you go to the games, and you say, you know, if you've been to the football before, quite often the answer, I mean, the majority of the time, the answer is no, or the answer is, you know, my mum and dad could never afford to bring me to this. We can't afford to come to the football. So although we don't state that, you know, you have to, you know, you have to earn under a certain amount of money to
I
the club,
know.
it
You're
does
kidding me.
end up working out like that anyway.
Yeah. And what's the kind of age range of the youngsters who come?
Between 8 and 13, average
Yeah.
is around that age group.
Yeah. And is that something that it seems a good it's, that's a good range, and it's a good age as well, isn't it? Because if they're younger than that, well, that's what I found. I thought my son was never going to be interested in football. You know, even at the age of 7, I was kind of dragging him to the odd game, and when I wasn't working. And then suddenly it was like a switch. It just clicked on, and he started playing for his school team. So that in 8, I think I speak to quite a lot of parents, and that's when your kind of world opens to me. Yeah, like so
I bet you were
eight.
delighted.
I was delighted. I was delighted. It's like, yeah, I've got something forevermore that we'll be bonded over, you know, which was how it was with my mum right up to her dying day. You know, that's what we spoke about with Celtic. But so I was kind of delighted. And then at the same time, I thought, some of the things that surround it, you think, do I really want to bring my son into this? And I hope he doesn't he kind of go that way, you know, with it. But I'm not going to go into it. But you know what I mean in the sense of, you want them to love Celtic. My mum used to always say to me, son, pro Celtic, auntie no one. That used to be her. I said, well, maybe apart from Rangers, mum, you know. But so that was, it was a positive force. And that's what I love about the Kano found. It's these things that make Celtic a positive life force you guys are doing. And that must give you a kick, Nick. Pardon that, blooming, like you're rhyming there. But like, you know, that must give you a real thrill.
It's the driving force behind it. It's a long time ago since I was 8 or 13 again, but I do remember being taken to games when I was that age, and I was also really fortunate to play a lot of football as a young kid from people from all different backgrounds. And being taken to a professional football match at that age is a magical experience. And it doesn't, you know, take a rocket scientist to work out that when you're getting the feedback from, you know, the kids, the volunteers, the trustees, and so on and so forth, that it takes you back to your own youth as well. So I resonate a lot with what's going on. Even before I joined the Kano Foundation, I was a huge fan. But being part of it is just, I suppose, motivation to continue to build on the shoulders of giants, quite frankly, from all the trustees and volunteers that have contributed to the Kano Foundation over the last 15 years. To get to that 21,000 children mark is an incredible feat. The fact that, you know, now we have Kieran Tierney as the ambassador for the Kano Foundation will only give us, I suppose, a pathway to greater visibility and growth in the future. And we want to smash that number of 21,000, which we will do next season, and just continue to do that for seasons to come. So it's a privilege to be part of this charity, it really is.
And Claire, like Kieran Tierney, you couldn't really have a more emblematic kind of player that would be your patron, you
No.
know. And whatever Kieran Tierney does in the rest of his football career or whatever, he's a Celt for life. That's just how it is for any of us, you know. But he, you know that even if he'd never come back to Celtic, he was a Celtic supporter. But like, so to have that. You know, that presence will be there long, you know, many decades because of who he is and what he is and what he represents. So to have him at the as the patron, well, how did that come about? Because that's only this season, I believe, isn't it?
Just, oh God, I can't even remember. What was it, February kind of time? We have had other, was that right?
Yeah, start of the year.
Yeah, I never have any idea what month it is, to be honest. So I'm
You,
glad I've got the year right
Claire, your
here.
Wayne's not even two. Of course, you don't have any
I
idea.
don't sleep. No, but we have had other players as ambassadors in the past. We've had Scott Brown, we've had Tom Boyd. So Kieran's you know, a good group there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, you know, discussions with Celtic. As I say, we're not affiliated directly with Celtic, but we do have a good relationship with the club. And it was Nick that kind of facilitated that relationship. So yeah, delighted. And what an inspiration for the kids as well. You know, like Katie started off in the stands watching the games just like them, and then now he is the ambassador and that, like, I mean, he's a hero, isn't he? He's like a Celtic hero. So like, what a player to have on our team, basically.
Nick, I can imagine if Claire was saying you facilitated it, I can imagine, like, the thing about it is Katie would know the Kano Foundation. You know, he wouldn't need to be told about it. He would know it. Because I think you do have a kind of, I think there's a pretty good understanding of you across the kind of fan base in general, would you say, Nick?
Absolutely. And you know, the conversations with Celtic were really productive, really transparent, and really open. Kieran did know about the Kano Foundation, which I don't think any of us were surprised about. We were delighted that he did hear about us. The fact that, you know, not only has he had an incredible career at Celtic, then going down to Arsenal and doing well, and then coming back. But I just think it was so timely, given the fact he scored that goal for Scotland to help us in the World Cup, is a real inspiration to kids who come to the Kano Foundation games with us at Celtic Park. He is quite literally the best guy we could get for the job, and we're really looking forward to having a closer relationship with him over the coming months and seasons. And yeah, there is a, I suppose, on a personal level. Originally, I grew up in Motherwell, and so to meet Kieran in Muirhouse, and we have sort of mutual friends, and to have another Motherwell guy on the team is fantastic. Yeah, great player, not only for club but for country as well, and what an inspiration it is for the children that are participating as part of the Kano Foundation family.
Used to go to Motherwell Civic every Christmas to see the Panto, because I grew up in Lark Hall of all places. But like, so yeah, I know Motherwell. I know Motherwell. I had one of the worst nights of my life there, but there you go. Yeah, I'm not going to that one either.
I don't
Motherwell
think I've
Civic.
ever been to Motherwell, and I
Oh,
can't
you're
see a
missing
reason
out,
that that'll
Claire.
change.
The next time I'm back, I'll take you to Motherwell. No problem.
What a promise.
And even like, and you take a wrong turn and you end up in Wishaw, and there, whoa, that's like the land that time forgot.
See, that's
But
different.
like,
There's loads of
yeah.
really nice places in Motherwell. There's loads of brilliant people in Motherwell. I was actually back there last weekend, and I know this is a random story, but I ended up going to the tip in Bell's Hill, and it was during that time where all the hailstones come down.
Yeah.
And about half an hour later, it was, you know, the sun was splitting the trees, and I took the opportunity when the weather cleared up to go and see the Tommy Gemmell statue in Craignewk.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I've seen a number of statues over the years, and that has to be the best one I've ever seen. It was brilliant, really
Haven't
brilliant.
he seen
So
it yet? But
for
that is a
anyone
good
that's
reason to go.
contributing to that Tommy Gemmell memorial, well done indeed.
Yeah. No, it did look good for the pictures, but I'll need to go to it. I'll need to go to it. We used to go to Wish all the time because the, I think, was it the kind of Wish a Classic? There was a, used to be a cinema out there. You know, I remember seeing Grease, queuing up for 6 hours to see Grease, and then I didn't get half the jokes. I think I was only about, I was kind of Kano Foundation age, and when they said it burst, you know, after they'd been rocking about in the back of the van, I thought they meant a tyre. Like, remember when she thinks she's pregnant? So that's. But I mean, wait, Claire, what does a day look like with the Kano Foundation group, the group of youngsters? How does it? So I mean, is it quite a long day in the sense that you meet a long time before the kickoff or whatever, or how does it?
I mean, it really depends, right? So if it's a midweek evening game, obviously it's
Yeah, of
completely
course.
different to, you know, a Sunday 12 o'clock kickoff. But the weekends we generally meet in St Michael's Church Hall, just along the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the kids will get lunch, they have a sing song. We try and keep it as kind of PG as possible, but sometimes the chance, you know, 150 kids in a hall, and they all idolize, you know, the Green Brigade and everything. So you get some interesting chants going on sometimes, but we do try our very best.
Yeah,
And
especially in a
then
church hall.
exactly, and then we all walk along from there to Celtic Park together. And again, you know, the kids are all, you know, shouting the Martin O'Neill chant, they're shouting the Celtic chant. It's It's brilliant. The flags are out. So if you ever walk along that way and you can't get past a line of 150 kids, that is us. We apologize. So we're usually in the stadium maybe about 45 minutes, an hour in advance, just to get everyone in safely before the crowds come in, get all the kids in their seats. And then, we're all sat there behind the goals. They're booing the opposition players as they're training, and they're up, they're singing. We've got flags, we've got drums. So the kids really bring the noise,
Right.
and
Do you
they're
give
brilliant.
them drums? I mean, do you have drums that get rolled out to
We
the next
do,
group?
yep. Aha, we
Yes.
have the drums, we have a huge flag, which quite often you kind of see it traveling around the stadium before it makes its way back to us. So yeah, we bring all that along. The kids have a great time. Sometimes someone like Gio Thompson, who does the prints,
Oh, look,
The
draws
artwork,
kind of thing. Do you mean?
drawings,
The
yeah.
artwork. I've seen the artwork. Because I was going to try and reach out to him because I he seems to. Is that the one you see him doing it really quickly? He shows that as if it's he's doing it within a couple of seconds
Yeah, and he
on
usually gets
social
the
media. Yeah.
players to come in and sign one. So we give the kids all out bags with a scarf, hat, all their sweeties, their juice, and sometimes Gio will do a special print for them as well. So you might see the kids like waving their prints in the air too.
Right.
And then after that, they just settle down and watch the game, but like everybody else.
Yeah.
There's abuse for the opposition players. There's cheering for our players. Joe Hart was a big favourite because he would actually interact with the
Of
kids,
course.
before going off at half time. So, they'll be trying to get Joe Hart's attention or Kasper Schmeichel's or Sinisalo's now, obviously, and then shouting on their favourite players. I remember when Kyogo was there and everything was just Kyogo, Kyogo,
Yeah.
trying to get them to kind of acknowledge them. But yeah, the kids watch the game the same as everyone else, absolutely love it. And then they head home along with all the rest of the crowd, and they don't care if we win, they don't care if we lose, they just have a
Or
brilliant time.
draw, just as
Yeah,
the
oh
song
yeah,
says.
this season.
Sorry, sorry.
But we have kids, they're not just Celtic fans, we've had Rangers fans in before, we've got Motherwell fans, they all just come along, they all sit together and they have a brilliant time. So it's a great day out. And one of the best things about being part of the Kano Foundation is that kind of walk up the steps. You'll have seen it on social media,
Yeah.
people bringing their own kids, and you see them and they video their face as they walk into the stadium. And that's one of the best things about it, is just watching the kids take in the size of Celtic Park,
Yeah.
as it begins to fill up and the noise kind of begins to rise. All their faces, they're just fascinated. It's incredible.
Yeah, I know. Even now, sometimes you still pinch yourself when God, we've been going there since it opened, 95 and all that. It's still the scale still sometimes is arresting. So you can just that's the great thing you see even now at my 16 and 19-year-old, you still see things through through a young person's eyes that's seen it for the first time. There's nothing more kind of life affirming in a way, or kind of it really just gives you that kind of jolt of kind of energy, doesn't it, to see the world through more innocent eyes?
Exactly. And then imagine you're doing that, you're walking in with 150 other
Yeah.
kids, and maybe you're like group of mates that you go to school with, or you play football with or whatever, and it's such a cool experience for them.
Yeah, and so it tends to be groups that are, would you wouldn't have one child on their own that didn't know anybody, or do you, or
We would
sometimes?
have families, yeah. So families can apply as well. We get, I mean, groups of every size, from a mum and her son, or a dad and his son, to 40 strong groups. It's everything.
Right. And what I mean, do you have any? Nick, have you been part of it like a few times gone with the whole crew then? Have you been there or done it a few
I've been in
times?
the past, and given the fact that I'm not based in Scotland, I don't get to as many games as I would like to. But for the forthcoming season, there'll be more participation by me. As I mentioned earlier on, I've certainly got my hands full on the strategy side and on at board
Yeah.
level and so on. But tune in to every single game from where I live here. And I always, I have to say, get a wee jolt of excitement when there's a
the
shot or a new
pans.
goal, and I can see all the wee hats jump up and down, and sometimes I can squint my eyes and maybe see Claire or Gillian or other members of the board and so on. It's brilliant. That's definitely the motivation that keeps me going.
Yeah. And Claire, do you have any favourite memories in terms of what you've, the experiences that you've had? Do you go to European games, or is that because it's more cost?
No, it's obviously more of a cost, and it being a kind of Thursday night, or well, depending on where we are. And,
don't say that. Don't say that. It was a one-off. Don't say that.
A Wednesday or a Thursday night, it makes it a wee bit more difficult. So, and it's obviously you don't know when the European games are going to be until closer to the time. So we don't go to the European games. No, it is just league home games and, you know, the occasional friendly and things like that as well.
Right. And for you, like, what's been some of the, you must have some favourite memories, or just to see that joy, like, or to just funnier, just like a really kind of satisfying.
Don't know if I can repeat some of the things that you hear. I mean, it's not bad words or anything, but just some of the things that, you know, kids come out with at the game. Sometimes you're like, I can't believe you've just said that. But there was, now what game was it? It was one of the kind of January games, February games. It was maybe Livingston. And there was a group of kids there that it was this season. Group of kids there just having an absolutely great time, right? And there was quite a big group of Irish kids, and they all had to go off and get the boat just before the end. So there was one boy and like two boys, and their mums were just stood in the middle of this row. And as I say, it's February, it's freezing. One of the wee boys whips off his top. I think we're drawing. It's like the 75th minute. And he's just
Probably.
Jumping up and down, waving his top in the air, not a care in the world. And you just think, that's what it's all about. You're not bothered about the score, about the temperature. You're just absolutely delighted to be here. But obviously you have things like, you know, watching Celtic win the league with all those kids, watching us, you know, raise the flag on the first day of the season. All of that, and just that vibe and atmosphere and seeing people have a great time, that's the best thing about it. It really is.
And you think that they'll remember this, because like, you know, you do yourself, you remember things, you know. I found Super 8 cine film. I used to play in a kind of indie band in the 80s, and we used to try and film when we played down London and all this kind of stuff and make monkeys videos. I found the cine film, and at the start of it, before we're doing all the stuff in the rehearsal room and along the Houses of Parliament and all that, it's Celtic raising the league flag, you know. So I must have thought the most important thing for this camera to film first is Celtic raising the league flag, you know. So these things you do remember, don't you?
Yeah, I also, one of the really cool things that we went to was we take the kids to the women's games as well.
Yeah.
Not so much this season, but we have very much in the past. And we went to the game where they trialled out the Celtic end. And we were just...
I was there myself, aye.
The corner. Yeah, and just to see, and it was mainly girls, and just to see young girls watching...
It was beautiful, yeah.
You know, watching such like an inspirational team, because that team was a fantastic Celtic women's team. And then all that noise and atmosphere. And I went with a friend who was a bit older than me. And, you know, she said when I was that age, all I wanted to do was play football, but there wasn't girls' football teams. And to sit here with all these kids and see that the inspiration for girls as well, you know, that was a really special moment too. And that's something that, you know, those kids got to do through the Kino Foundation.
And do you have quite a few girls in terms of the groups, or is it quite boy kind of heavy, I suppose? Or do you think you have a bit more, like, in terms of female representation?
I would say it's maybe about 60-40, you know.
Right.
It's probably naturally just a bit more boy.
Of course,
heavy.
Yeah.
As I say, it's a lot of football teams, sports teams and things, but... No, there's a lot of girls come along as well, which is really good to see.
Yeah, definitely. You say, Nick, you're very much, obviously, like you're saying about strategy and such, like, what is the way forward for the Kano Foundation? What are you hoping that where you can go next.
Expansion, and I think just that visibility of showcasing what we do on a larger scale. We mentioned some of the figures earlier on. The 21,000 mark is something that we've already surpassed, and in the forthcoming season we want to smash that. Reaching out to more donors, not just UK and Irish based, but globally as well. We've also collaborated with the Irish sportswear brand O'Neill's, who,
all right,
after one of the best voting system posts that we've had on social media, our fans got to vote on our new home jersey. They had a choice of four, and they decided on a very classic, you know, obviously green white hoops with kind of gold trim that we're looking to launch really soon. And there'll be a way where fans can buy these shirts, and obviously all profits would go to the Keno Foundation. I have to say, they look pretty smart. I've seen the prototype. It looks really nice. And that's something that, again, is a nice avenue for us to fundraise. We're also looking to collaborate with a number of other external partners that hopefully in the not too distant future we can make some announcements around. And just generally keep on pushing it, Andrew, and making sure that people know about the Keno Foundation, know how to apply to come to a game with us, know how to donate or through our website. You can obviously follow us through social media. You could buy one of our new O'Neill's jerseys that are coming out soon. And yeah, generally, and obviously have fun along the way. I don't want to be all corporate and miserable about strategy and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, I was a kid once that just loved going. I still love going to the football myself when I'm back home. That's, you know, that'll never, you know, die. And that's the passion that I think all brings all of us together.
Yeah.
So yeah, really exciting times ahead. And the other message I'd like to put out, Andrew, if you don't mind, is that because of the interest in the Keno Foundation, we are expanding and we are looking for new trustees to join the board.
Right.
So if any of your listeners come from an e-commerce background, an accountancy background, a paralegal or legal background, or anyone who thinks they have the right, I suppose, background to join and add value to the Keno Foundation, what we'd ask them to do is just send your CV into our email address, which is contactus@thekenofoundation.com. One of the trustees or myself will give you a call and we can have a chat about how we could collaborate in the future. So if there's any future Keno Foundation trustees out there that are watching this, send us an email and we can set up a call with you.
No, like, so let's do that again. Like, pretend to be one of those kind of smashy, nicey DJs. Let's give us this one more time, can you? Contact us. The address was it? Contact at the Keno. Sorry, just do it properly. I'm blowing it here. Like, just do it properly. So, what was the address again? Like, I always like to say addresses twice.
So
genuinely,
the address is no problem. The address, the email address is contactus, all one word, at thekenofoundation.com.
Because we do have, I do think we, like, well, I know at least three or four lawyers that are among our subscribers, so that is our kind of Celtic DA clientele in the Celtic underground. So genuinely, it is worth giving that, and it's worth looking. So where can you get the top, the O'Neill's top? Is that on the, is it this all on the website as well?
It's all top secret right now, Andrew. We're going.
Oh, right, so you can't buy it yet.
We're going to do the official launch pretty soon. And
all right, good.
There'll be a way where everyone can buy a jersey. The more jerseys that we sell, the more money the Keno Foundation makes. We are completely non-profit. And everything goes to, you know, as a donation to, you know, future games and even more kids to bring kids to the game. So what I would say is if you can keep an eye on social media and on our website, yeah, we'll put out an announcement fairly soon.
No, grand. And Claire, like it must give you a real kind of deep-seated satisfaction to think, like, you almost can't think about Celtic now without, it becomes one of the kind of cornerstones or one of the parts of Celtic that makes Celtic what it is now, it's almost become that, the Keno Foundation, isn't it? You could never envisage, like,
No, I think for, you know, the people on the board and, you know, the volunteers, that's so tied up in your Celtic experience now, you know. And quite a lot of us have like season tickets and things, and nobody ever sits in their seat because they're over helping out with the kids and all of that side of thing. But I think you'd said before, you know, everyone knows who the Kano Foundation is, and I think we'd like to think that. I'm not sure that that is fully the case. Not everybody knows who the Kano Foundation is. That is part of what, you know, Nick is working on as well, is just raising awareness. What did they say? There was 4 million Celtic fans worldwide. Is that what it's supposed to be? I'm terrible at
Yeah,
numbers. I read it like that.
there's mixed research articles out there, but over 4 million alleged Celtic fans, and if a certain percentage of that knew about the Kano Foundation, and even better, donated to the Kano Foundation, would be in an even better place. So that's part of my job, is to raise the brand awareness, let's just say.
Well, no, of course.
I
Like,
think for
you're
everyone
probably
who
right,
sits
Claire.
around us.
You know, you're probably right. You think people know, and like we're probably more immersed in certain elements than the normal public are, you know. Like, I say to my cousin about things that have happened on social media, just because he's not on social media, he doesn't know half the stuff, you know. He's like, life could be better that way, mind you. Sometimes you think, you know, I wish I didn't know half the stuff I see on social media. But the Kano Foundation is one of the things that I'm glad I do know, and it's been an absolute delight to have you on, Claire. Sorry, were you going to say something there?
No, it's okay. I think you were just cutting out a little bit. It's all good.
Oh, right. Sorry if there's been any kind of slight kind of technical kind of issues. There may be a delay between us, but I don't know. I don't think it's been that bad. Guys, thanks so much for your time. It's an absolute pleasure to meet you, Claire and Nick, and more power to your elbow, guys. Let's hope you can go for strength to strength. And as I say, everybody didn't know about the Kano Foundation. Well, let's hope we've kind of spread the message a little bit further with this episode. Thanks so much, and God
For
bless you
sure.
guys.
Listen, Andrew, thanks very much. Genuinely, we really appreciate the opportunity to come on and say a bit about the Kano Foundation. This will really help us, so I really appreciate your time. And as I mentioned, you know, if you do get any inquiries after the show, just send them through to that email address we mentioned earlier on. We're happy to take it from there. But again, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Claire.
Thank you very
I think.
much.
Thanks, Andrew. Take care.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision, and also subscribe to thecelticunderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And this is me, Harry Brady, saying good night and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.